Chapter 4. Time as a body could contrive. It would just make a heaven of warbling ignoramuses, don't you see? Eternal rest sounds comforting in the pulpit too. Well, you try it once, and see how heavy time will hang on your hands. Why, Stormfield, a man like you, that had been active and stirring all his life, would go mad in 6 months, in a heaven where he hadn't anything to do. Heaven is the very last place to come to rest in, and don't you be afraid to bet on that. Says I, Sam, I'm as glad to hear it as I thought I'd be sorry. I'm glad I come now. Says he, Cap'n, ain't you pretty physically tired? Says I, Sam, it ain't any name for it. I'm dog tired. Just so. You've earned a good sleep, and you'll get it. You've earned a good appetite, and you'll enjoy your dinner. It's the same here as it is on Earth. You've got to earn a thing, square and honest, before you enjoy it. You can't enjoy first and earn afterwards. But there's this difference, here. You can choose your own occupation, and all the powers of heaven will be put forth to help you make a success of it, if you do your level best. The shoemaker on earth, that had the soul of a poet in him, won't have to make shoes here. Now that's all reasonable and right, says one. Plenty of work, and the kind you hanker after. No more pain, no more suffering. Oh, hold on. There's plenty of pain here, but it don't kill. There's plenty of suffering here, but it don't last. You see, happiness ain't a thing in itself, it's only a contrast with something that ain't pleasant. That's all it is. There ain't a thing you can mention that is happiness in its own self, it's only so by contrast with the other thing. And so, as soon as the novelty is over, and the force of the contrast dulled, it ain't happiness any longer, and you have to get something fresh. Well, there's plenty of pain and suffering in heaven, consequently there's plenty of contrasts, and just no end of happiness. Says I, it's the sensiblest heaven I've heard of yet, Sam, though it's about as different from the one I was brought up on as a live princess as different from her own wax figure. Along in the first months I knocked around about the kingdom, making friends and looking at the country, and finally settled down in a pretty likely region, to have a rest before taking another start. I went on making acquaintances and gathering up information. I had a good deal of talk with an old bald-headed angel by the name of Sandy McWilliams. He was from somewhere in New Jersey. I went about with him, considerable. We used to lay around, warm afternoons, in the shade of a rock, on some meadow-ground that was pretty high, and out of the marshy slush of his cranberry farm, and there we used to talk about all kinds of things, and smoke pipes. One day, says I, about how old might you be, Sandy? 72. I judged so. How long you been in heaven? 27 years, come Christmas. How old was you when you come up? Why, 72, of course. You can't mean it. Why can't I mean it? Because, if you was 72 then, you are naturally 90-9 now. No, but I ain't. I stay the same age I was when I come. Well, says I, come to think, there's something just here that I want to ask about. Down below, I always had an idea that in heaven we would all be young, and bright, and spry. Well, you can be young, if you want to. You've only got to wish. Well then, why didn't you wish? I did. They all do. You'll try it, someday, like enough, but you'll get tired of the change pretty soon. Why? Well, I'll tell you. Now you've always been a sailor, did you ever try some other business? Yes, I tried keeping grocery, once, up in the mines, but I couldn't stand it. It was too dull, no stir, no storm, no life about it. It was like being part dead and part alive, both at the same time. I wanted to be one thing or t'other. I shut up shop pretty quick, and went to sea. That's it. Grocery people like it, but you couldn't. You see, you wasn't used to it. Well, I wasn't used to being young, and I couldn't seem to take any interest in it. I was strong, and handsome, and had curly hair, yes, and wings too. Gay wings like a butterfly. I went to picnics and dances and parties with the fellows, and tried to carry on and talk nonsense with the girls, but it wasn't any use. I couldn't take to it. Fact is, it was an awful bore. What I wanted was early to bed, and early to rise, and something to do. And when my work was done, I wanted to sit quiet and smoke and think, not tear around with a parcel of giddy young kids. You can't think what I suffered whilst I was young. How long was you young? Only 2 weeks. That was plenty for me. Laws, I was so lonesome. You see, I was full of the knowledge and experience of 72 years. The deepest subject those young folks could strike was only ABC to me. And to hear them argue, oh, my. It would have been funny if it hadn't been so pitiful. Well, I was so hungry for the ways and the sober talk I was used to that I tried to ring in with the old people, but they wouldn't have it. They considered me a conceited young upstart and gave me the cold shoulder. 2 weeks was a plenty for me. I was glad to get back my bald head again, and my pipe, and my old drowsy reflections in the shade of a rockery tree. Well, says I, do you mean to say you're going to stand still at 72, forever? I don't know, and I ain't particular. But I ain't going to drop back to 25 anymore, I know that, mighty well. I know a sight more than I did 27 years ago, and I enjoy learning all the time, but I don't seem to get any older. That is, bodily my mind gets older, and stronger, and better seasoned, and more satisfactory. Says I, if a man comes here at 90, don't he ever set himself back? Of course he does. He sets himself back to 14, tries it a couple of hours, and feels like a fool. Sets himself forward to 20, it ain't much improvement. Tries 30, 50, 80, and finally 90, finds he is more at home and comfortable at the same old figure he is used to than any other way. Or, if his mind begun to fail him on earth at 80, that's where he finally sticks up here. He sticks at the place where his mind was last at its best, for there's where his enjoyment is best and his ways most set and established. Does a chap of 25 stay always 25, and look it? If he is a fool, yes. But if he is bright, and ambitious and industrious, the knowledge he gains, and the experiences he has, change his ways and thoughts and likings, and make him find his best pleasure in the company of people above that age. So he allows his body to take on that look of as many added years as he needs to make him comfortable and proper in that sort of society. He lets his body go on taking the look of age, according as he progresses, and by he will be bald and wrinkled outside, and wise and deep within. Babies the same? Babies the same. Laws, what asses we used to be, on earth, about these things. We said we'd be always young in heaven. We didn't say how young, we didn't think of that. Perhaps, that is, we didn't all think alike, anyway. When I was a boy of 7, I suppose I thought we'd all be 12, in heaven. When I was 12, I suppose I thought we'd all be 18, or 20 in heaven. When I was 40, I begun to go back. I remember I hoped we'd all be about 30 years old in heaven. Neither a man nor a boy ever thinks the age he has is exactly the best one. He puts the right age a few years older, or a few years younger than he is. Then he makes that ideal age the general age of the heavenly people. And he expects everybody to stick at that age, stand stock still, and expects them to enjoy it. Now just think of the idea of standing still in heaven. Think of a heaven made up entirely of hoop-rolling, marble-playing cubs of 7 years. Or of awkward, diffident, sentimental immaturities of 19. Or of vigorous people of 30, healthy-minded, brimming with ambition, but chained hand and foot to that one age and its limitations like so many helpless galley slaves. Think of the dull sameness of a society made up of people all of one age and one set of looks, habits, tastes and feelings. think how superior to it Earth would be, with its variety of types and faces and ages, and the enlivening attrition of the myriad interests that come into pleasant collision in such a variegated society. Look here, says I, do you know what you're doing? Well, what am I doing? You are making heaven pretty comfortable in one way, but you are playing the mischief with it in another. How do you mean? Well, I says, take a young mother that's lost her child, and, sh, he says, ugh. It was a woman, middle-aged, and had grizzled hair. She was walking slow, and her head was bent down, and her wings hanging limp and droopy, and she looked ever so tired, and was crying, poor thing. She passed along by, with her head down, that way, and the tears running down her face, and didn't see us. Then Sandy said, low and gentle, and full of pity. She's hunting for her child. No, found it, I reckon. Lord, how she's changed. But I recognized her in a minute, though it's 27 years since I saw her. A young mother she was, about 22 or 24, or along there, and blooming and lovely and sweet, oh, just a flower. And all her heart and all her soul was wrapped up in her child, her little girl, 2 years old. And it died, and she went wild with grief, just wild. Well, the only comfort as he had, was that she'd see her child again, in heaven never more to part, apostrophe she said, and kept on saying it over and over, never more to part. Apostrophe apostrophe and the words made her happy, yes, they did. They made her joyful, and when I was dying, 27 years ago, she told me to find her child the first thing, and say she was coming soon, soon, very soon, she hoped and believed. Apostrophe, why, it's pitiful, Sandy. He didn't say anything for a while, but sat looking at the ground, thinking. Then he says, kind of mournful. And now she's come. Well? Go on. Stormfield, maybe as he hasn't found the child, but I think she has. Looks so to me. I've seen cases before. You see, she's kept that child in her head just the same as it was when she jounced it in her arms, a little chubby thing. But here it didn't elect to stay a child. No, it elected to grow up, which it did. And in these 27 years it has learned all the deep scientific learning there is to learn, and is studying and learning more and more, all the time, and don't give a damn for anything but learning, just learning, and discussing gigantic problems with people like herself. Well? Stormfield, don't you see? Her mother knows cranberries, and how to tend them, and pick them, and put them up, and market them. And not another blame thing. Her and her daughter can't be any more company for each other now than Mud Turtle and Bird O' Paradise. Poor thing, she was looking for a baby to jounce. I think she struck a disappointment. Sandy, what will they do, stay unhappy forever in heaven? No, they'll come together and get adjusted by and by. But not this year, and not next. By and by. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.